Bow your heads for a moment. You'll get over the shock of me in a few minutes. I don't have to be home till Thursday. We always come to church in a hurry. Or say it this way, we come to church kind of casually, but we want to leave in a hurry. Hopefully today God will do something special on this Mother's Day and you won't ever forget it. I want you to bow your heads. Mother's Day and Father's Day can be a bittersweet day for some people. Some people never had a mom, like me. So I'll never know the love of a mom. I have two grandkids that we adopted. It'll be 2 years in August 9th. They're drug babies. Their mom had 8 kids with 8 different men. They may never know their mom. And then you have those whose mom was in their life and has passed away. It's a bittersweet day for some. With every head bowed, I want to ask, nobody looking around, how many of you have never had a mom in your life? Your real mom was never in your life. Anybody here? 1, 2, 3. Okay. I had 9 stepfathers. My mom was an alcoholic. I grew up in bars and streets and cars and alleys. Any way you could be abused, we were abused. How many of you had a mom in your life that's not here today? Raise your hand. A lot of hands. And how many of y'all have your mom standing right next to you right now? Raise your hand. Not a lot. You know, Mother's Day and prisons, they run out of Mother's Day cards. But on Father's Day, not very many cards go out. So today is a bittersweet day for some. But he still holds everything. We're going to sing that little line again. But I want to pray for you. Father, thank you for Mother's Day. And I want to thank you for the moms, the stepmoms, the adopted moms, the foster moms. It's an interesting word, but I want to thank you for the moms in our life, the grandmoms. Father, I want to pray for those who never had that mom that, Father, they would declare that you got it all. You hold it all. And then, Father, for those who moms are like Billy Graham, they just changed neighborhoods. Can't wait to have that reunion. And then for those that have their moms here today, may they give mom a great day today. Love on her, encourage her. Now we want to pray that you'd be with this service. I pray for pastors all over. And I pray for moms that don't know you, they'd come to know you. God, take the written word and the message you've given me and that I preached a bunch, but may there be a fresh anointing. May there be a fresh power on that. We declare to you, you hold it all. Say it.
You hold it all. You hold it all. You hold it all. Lord, you hold it all. Come on, sing it out. You hold it all.
great worship today. Would you agree? Man, you're blessed. Now, don't sit yet. Go ahead and look at somebody eyeball to eyeball. Look at them. You're going to say something to them. I'm going to tell you what to say. Look at them good. Go ahead and look at them. I like it when men got to look at each other. It's just weird, but go ahead and look at each other. And I want you to repeat after me. Say, God loves you, but I'm still working on it. That's why you're laughing. Now look at him and say this. Say, I am so glad. By the way, that's a smiling word, so try it again. Say, I am so glad that you're here. Because if you weren't here, I'd be talking to myself. How many of y'all talk to yourself? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many of y'all answer yourself? Yeah. That's when you know you're crazy. I'm just telling you. But here's the bottom line. I challenge you today. Man, love on those moms today. My wife, I celebrated on Thursday and Friday. Remain standing unless you're just too tired to stand. But stay, because you're going to be seated for a while. That's why I'm asking you to stand. And then also, I'm going to go ahead and let you look at me. Go ahead and get over with that. Because you know you're judging me already, right? You know you are. You're thinking, dude, what is up with that? So, and I'm not even wearing socks, if that'll make you feel any better. This is who I am. I've been doing this for 37 years. I travel 283 inner days out of the year. I'm glad you're waiting to do the love offering because you may not want to give to this. I don't know. This is what I've been doing for 37 years of my life. I'm married. I'll be married 46 years, August the 17th. I have two boys, 10 grandkids, and a dog named Peaches. My boys think that I love Peaches more than them, and I do. She wants a biscuit. They want my money. I love Peaches. She poops in my backyard. They pooped on my life. I really love Peaches. Can I get an amen? Amen. I love making people laugh. Laughter's a great thing. So I do have 10 grandkids. On Thursday, I graduated my first grandson through college. He's 20, going to be 22. Graduated from Texas A&M. Bought my wife some A&M stuff on Thursday and Friday. We were able to celebrate. Got back late Friday, and I flew here yesterday. I am going to do your camps this summer. I'm pumped about that. And I hope that you'll get a lot of teenagers to go. I'll be there in June and July. Tomorrow and Tuesday, we're kind of making some planning camp and getting ready for it. And then Wednesday night, I'm doing a service at another church, just a youth rally kind of like deal. I was in Detroit last weekend. I went and did a men's conference. I spoke at a women's deal at Merriman Road. I did Sunday morning, and they still do Sunday night. We had about 35 people saved in 3 days. It was a pretty cool deal. So I've been doing this for a long time. I traveled, thank you, 280, 300 days out of the year. My wife, she has fibromyalgia. I share this everywhere I go. Her name is Debbie. She's had it for 30 years. She was a school teacher, no longer could teach school. And so for the last 20 or so years, this is our way of living. This is how I make my living. With 10 grandkids, trust me, it gets very expensive in this life. But I've been doing this for, again, 37 years. God's been faithful. My wife, if you would pray for her, she deals with pain every day. Her mom has dementia. She takes care of her along with her sisters. That's where they are today, and I'll call her later on at her mom's. So there's the bottom line. That's kind of what we've grown up in. The tattoo that you see in my arm, this really messes up people. You're just going to have to build a bridge and get over it. I should have got a bracelet because it hurt. A few of you got that. My grandson, Trey, September 1st will be 5 years. We couldn't beat leukemia. And we lost him 5 years ago on September 1st. His favorite verse is Psalms 56:3. After he would throw up from chemotherapy and all the stuff, he was born with no immune system, did well for 6 years, got a virus, leukemia basically, and he would quote Psalms 56:3, "When I'm afraid, I'll trust in you." One of the very first verses I ever memorized in my life, it's kind of funny, is Galatians 2:20. "For I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me now lives in this flesh, and I live in this flesh through the faith of Christ Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want you to know that scripture is very, very important. I hope that this year you'll begin to memorize, share it, quote it, preach it, and just read it every day. Every day I'm in the Word of God. Last night, I got to listen to my church online. Spent about an hour and a half. Our worship was incredible. And our pastor's wife spoke on behalf of mothers. It was an incredible message that I got. In fact, I was writing some things down while we were worshiping, just as I remembered and recalled those. So, 9 stepfathers in my life, went to 24 different schools growing up, was in jail at 15, suicidal at 10. One of my dads beat me with the switch. I'm sure I needed to learn something. Grabbed a bottle of aspirins. Don't know that I wanted to die, but I didn't have a reason to live. Took my first drink of alcohol at 9. I haven't had a drink of alcohol in probably 50 years. I've been clean. Who needs a cheap high when you can have the most high? That's just the bottom line. God changed my life. I don't know, and here's the deal. I just turned 66 years old in March because y'all were trying to guess. So I'm 66. I'm older than other than this pastor. I'm usually older than most pastors. But he's given me hope. 74, I believe, is what he told me. So I know I got at least to 74. But I told my wife, the day I wear my pants up to here with white socks and sandals, to shoot me. Can I go ahead and tell you, anybody here on Medicare, raise your hand. Hallelujah for Medicare. Praise God. Anybody on Social Security? Listen, I'm there. Never thought I'd ever see it, Pastor, I promise you. And so the bottom line is, I'm not old, I'm getting older. But age should never be a gauge for serving God. Amen? Are you all ready for the Word? Everybody look at your watch. Let's all do it together. Go ahead, look at it. Now we don't have to do it anymore. We did it together. We're done. Isn't that nice of me? And here's the deal. If you came to get out of here by noon, you probably picked the wrong Sunday to come. Should have stayed home and watched Joel Osteen. Nobody ought to be that happy. Nobody ought to be. That dude needs a bad day. If you're listening, say yes. Quietly be seated. And man, this is an interesting family over here. It looks like mine. My 2 grandkids that we have adopted, Adele and Luke. Adele and Luke are half brother and sister. Again, 8 different. Their mom had 8 kids with 8 different men. So they're half brother and sister. Luke is about as white can be. Got no hair. But Adele is biracial. Cutest little girl I've ever seen in my life. She's got hair. I was looking at that hair. We ain't got a clue what to do with that hair. But are you ready? Their mom's trash became our treasure. And so I'm excited about what God said. We've been through it. By the way, I've got a grandson. If you go to Facebook, if you go to Pray for Caleb Freeman, you know, you can imagine this. My son lost his son 5 years ago, December 19th. His 2 oldest sons, 14 and 16, were in a wreck. It hydroplaned on Highway 35 in Oklahoma City. His truck flipped around, hit the wall, and a semi hit him head-on 70 miles an hour. 14-year-old walked away with not a broken bone, little concussion, some bruised ribs. But our 16-year-old, not a broken bone, but severe head trauma. And he is now in Denver, Colorado, been there since January 15th. They gave him about a 10% chance to live. He is now walking, not on his own yet, but he is walking with some help. He is talking, he is making jokes, and he's flirting with the nurses. It's a great sign. We're praying for a huge miracle. And if you would, put on your prayer list my wife, Debbie. But if you'd put down there for Caleb Freeman, he's getting ready to head to Nebraska on Thursday for more rehab. We're hoping in the next 6 weeks that he will be a cross-country runner again. He'll play basketball again. So we've been through it in our family. But I want to give you a great word today. You see, unlike your pastor, my son's a pastor as well, and he's got a great church. His church has given him a sabbatical. They will give him whatever it takes. He's been there 9 years. When he went there 9 years ago, they were running about 365. They now run almost 1,000. They went from 1 service to 2. It is a great church. And today I want to talk to you about 3 enemies in our life. I don't know that I have a Mother's Day message. And the difference between what me and your pastor does and my son is they come up with stuff every single week. I don't have to do that because I'm in different places. I do come up with new messages and new sermons, but I don't have to come up with as many because I will preach some of the same messages. The difference is I got to make sure that the word I give you today is fresh and it doesn't sound like some recording. So if you're listening, say yes. Go, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. Go there quickly. 1 Peter, we'll get to my main passage. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll keep you posted on the time if you need help, because there's a clock right there in front of me. 1 Peter 5. By the way, as I look through your bulletin, very nice bulletin, a lot of stuff, a lot of things that you need to be a part of. I challenge you. I also noticed this little green piece of paper. I read through it. I would challenge you to take this green piece of paper and put it on your bathroom mirror or put it on your refrigerator so you can begin to pray for your next pastor. You pray for the people that are looking and trying to find your next pastor. So I would encourage you to do that. If you're listening, say yes. Well, I know you can hear me, but it doesn't mean you're listening. If you would, 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me give you three enemies in our life. I'm gonna camp on the third one. Here's the first one. Would you look closely? 1 Peter 5:8. We have it up on the scripture, and on the screen for you that are lazy and didn't bring your Bible. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Here it is. First, that's why I'm not a pastor. I'd slap somebody. I just would. I wouldn't vote on it. I wouldn't put it in the budget. I'd just kick them. I feel bad for pastors because these people come and they'll say stuff like, one of these days I'm leaving. If I was pastor, I would say, thank you, my prayer's been answered. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to love them. My favorite one is this one. I heard this one the other day. I was here before you, and I'm thinking, yeah, and when the rapture comes, you're still going to be here. Can I get an amen? Yeah, I love the one. I would love to be a napkin on some of your tables today. Trust me. Here it is. 1 Peter 5:8. Look at what it says. It says, stay alert. Everybody say, watch out. And notice this, because I never really noticed this. Watch out for your great enemy. I'll give you the title of my message in a moment. The devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I was telling somebody earlier when I was here listening to them practice and worshiping, that the devil, the enemy, are you ready, doesn't work from the outside in. The devil works from the inside out. You know when the devil's working, are you ready? When there's division and subtraction, the enemy's at work. When there's additions and multiplication, God's at work. If you're listening, say yes. So I want you to listen. The great enemy in our life is the devil. It's never a person. I heard a guy say this years ago, if it bleeds, they're not your enemy. You read Ephesians 6, the Bible says that our enemy is principalities and powers, what we can't see. You're John 10:10, I think that's out here on your door. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you read Revelation chapter 12, it's around verse 12, it says this. It says that the devil knows that his time is short. Listen, I believe our world's about over. I really believe that Christ's return is sooner than we think, but you got to hear me. The devil knows that he's running out of time, and the devil knows that he cannot unsave me. But if the devil can mess up my life, he can do it through my family or whatever. If the devil can attack me there and then makes me void and no good, then why am I here today? If you're listening, say yes. So our enemy is not flesh and blood, but our great enemy, according to Scripture, is the devil. Enemy number two, write this down. Here's enemy number two. How many of y'all have ever said this or somebody said it to you? Sometime you can be your own worst. You ever heard that one? How many of y'all, anybody ever said that to you? My wife said it to me a few times. I said it to my boys. I said, Jeremy, every now and then you can be your own worst enemy. And by the way, we got to quit blaming stuff on the devil. Hello? I mean, can I go and tell you, the devil is in one place at one time. He's got demons and angels of light and different things, but I want you to hear me. He can only be in, he's not omnipresent, not omniscient, not all powerful. Listen, not all knowing, You know, it's amazing when somebody gets a flat tire, they want to blame that on the devil. Really? I mean, you think the devil's in hell going, this is going to be good. Can I tell you why you got the flat tire? This is pretty deep. You might want to write it down. Got a hole in it. My grandson who was in the wreck, December 19th, people want to blame it on the devil. The devil had nothing to do with that wreck. In fact, let me go ahead and tell you this. God had nothing to do with the wreck. It was called an accident. But let me give you the good news. Now God has everything to do with what's going on. So if you read Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? So if you're listening, say yes. So enemy number two sometimes is you, but let me give you enemy number three. Go to Romans chapter 3. Go to Romans 3. I'll get to my main story in just a moment. Romans 3. I've got till 2 o'clock. I already lost an hour, so I'm kidding you. Sort of, kind of. If you go to KenFreeman.com, I didn't bring any of my stuff. I've written 3 books. My new book is called Choices 101. I've done over 20,000 public school assemblies. It's amazing. I'm just an instrument. I'm just a vessel. I'm just a voice box. And let me make this real clear. Anything good you see in me, that's him. Anything bad you see in me, that's me. My hope is that you will see the goodness and the greatness of God in this clump of clay's life. If you're listening, say yes. Go to Romans chapter 3. Here is enemy number 3. The devil's our great enemy. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy, but here's enemy number 3. Romans 3, verse 10. When you're there, say, I'm there. Now, I'm using the New Living Translation. My son uses ESV. Pastor, what version do you use? In New American Standard, it's real close to ESV. ESV is probably the best. New American would probably be right in there. I use the New Living. I just like how it reads. Look at what it says. As the Scripture says, no one is. Now, see, I don't know how most pastors do it, but I like you to participate. Not just spectate. See if you had something to write on and write with. I mean, I'm constantly writing. Last night in my hotel room, as my pastor's wife began, it was an incredible message out of Mark 14. I couldn't write fast enough. So let's do it again. No one is, not even, no one is truly, and look at this one. No one really is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. And look at what he says. No one does. Not even one. If you're listening, say yes. So here's the bottom line. I believe the biggest enemy in our life is good. Are you ready? Everybody say good. It's not good enough. Now stay right there. Everybody say good. Ain't good enough. Say good is the enemy. I love this little girl. She's watching her screen, but she's still talking. No, I love it. At least she's listening. Everybody say, good is the enemy to great. See, that's the problem. There's a lot of good things in the world, but God is looking for great, not good. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in than he that is in the greatest book ever written was the Word of God. Greatest day in history was when Jesus Christ died on a cross for me and you. Another great day was when he raised from the dead. And let me tell you this, there's a great day coming. If you're listening, say yes. If you read in John 15:13, it says, greater love hath no man than he lay his life down for a friend. Everybody say good. Ain't good enough. Say good is the enemy to great. I have a feeling he's bringing me some water. Thank you. Here's the bottom line. For whatever reason, let me drink in front of you. Oh, that's good. I see it's great. Everybody say good. Ain't good enough. Say good is the enemy to great. So he says in John 15:13, greater love has no man than he lays life down for a friend. If you read Psalms 48, it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. If you read in John 14, 12, you can look at it later, but in John 14, 12, this is Jesus' words. Pastor, this one always gets me. Jesus said that you and I will do greater works than him. Because greater is he that is in. Please listen. The greatness of God. Mom, we don't need good moms. We need great moms. We don't need good dads, fathers. We need great dads. 38 million kids in America have no idea where their real father is. 19 million kids in America have never seen their real dad. I want you to listen. I'm glad that I'm an American. Hello? And I think America used to be a great country. I just don't think it's as great as we think it should be. I think it's good. And Donald Trump is not going to make anything great. I'm not going to tell you who I voted for, not her. But here's the deal. It was a joke. The only person that can make this country great again is God. God through you and God through me. But I want you to listen. The enemy knows that his time is short. He's running out of time. And can I just tell you this? The enemy wants to destroy the work of God. Because see, if he can mess us up, we're no good to anybody. Think about how many people drive by your church that don't go to church. And so you got to figure out, because I love your facilities. It looks like you got great facilities. There was great worship. But my question is today, are you settling for good and going to miss the greatness of God? Keep reading with me in Romans chapter 3, verse 12. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good. Not a single one. Keep going. Look at the next verse. In verse 13, their talk is foul, like the stench of an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake and venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Look at verse 16. That sounds like me and my grandkids at Chuck E. Cheese. Do you see it? Destruction and misery always follow them. Keep reading. Look at the next verse, verse 17. He says, they don't know where to find peace. And I look at verse 18. They have no fear of God at all. I want you to hear me. I'm glad I'm an American, but I want you to hear. I'm not sure that we're as great a country as we think we are. Keep reading. Obviously, the law applies to those whom it was given. For its purpose, the law's purpose, everybody say the law was good, but it couldn't save. See, we got a lot of people, trust me, who think if they're good enough, keep it right there. If they're nice enough, they think if they're good enough, religious enough, that will get them to heaven. Everybody say no. See, here's what burdens me. There is somebody sitting here, you know about God, but you've never known God. And let me tell you, when you ever meet the God that changed my life, October of 1968, I'm living on a couch. A family took me in, kind of like the Blind Side movie. This family let me live on that couch. I just had to do a few chores. This guy got me to go to church. The greatest day of my life, October of 1968, when I was saved. God changed my life. And I don't know what happened to some of y'all. Listen, I haven't got over what he did over 51 years ago. He changed me. It was a great day. If you're listening, say yes. So we live in a world, and by the way, the law was a good thing. The law couldn't save you. I'm going to prove it to you. In fact, read on with me. Keep reading. Look at what he said. Obviously, the law applies to those whom it was given. For its purpose is to keep, I love this, is to keep people from having excuses and to show the entire world that it is guilty before God. But look at verse 20. Look at the next verse. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Keep reading. But now God has shown us a way to be right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. Look at verse 22 and 23. I think they can get there. I didn't give it to them. Let's see if they can get there, yes or no. Maybe not. Let me read verse 22. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. This is true for everyone who believes, no matter who they are. And look at verse 23. For all have... See, now verse 23 makes sense. How many of y'all know good people that are not Christians? Raise your hand. Please listen. Hell is going to be full of good people. Good will never get you to heaven. I fly all the time. In fact, I just got a deal on my phone. I've got over 5 million miles with American Airlines. Pastor, I don't know how much you've flown, but I get upgraded to first class all the time. Everybody say hello. How many of y'all have ever flown first class? Raise your hand. You don't want to ever go back and be with those other people again. Never! Now, this is dressed up for me. In fact, when I get done, I'm putting on some shorts. I wear some shorts. I wear some just different shoes. I love shorts. I'd preach in shorts. I'd get away with it here. I got good-looking legs. But here's the bottom line. I don't dress like first class, Pastor. And so, how many of y'all have ever flown? Raise your hand. How many of y'all have ever played this game? Surely you have. You're in a seat and there's an open seat next to you. Have you ever played this game? And people are coming your way. Y'all ever played this game? Oh God. Oh Father. Oh Heavenly Father, God. God, if you've ever heard my prayer, God, do not let that sit here. If you've ever played that game, raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, you know you're lying, and we know where liars go, right? Washington, D.C. Here's the deal. I'm just trying to get you to laugh a little. But I'm always wondered, Pastor, if I'm sitting there and there's an empty seat, if the people coming to me are doing this, oh, God, please don't let me sit next to that, God. So I'm in first class. This is leading to somewhere. Everybody say good. Ain't good enough. Everybody say good. Is the enemy to great? Is there a difference between good and great? Yes or no? Good athletes don't go to the Olympics. It's the good football teams. I feel bad for y'all. Because I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan and Jerry Jones is the Antichrist, but that's another story. But good football teams don't win a Super Bowl. It's the... I hate the New England Patriots. I do. I know it's not nice to. Pray for me. Good baseball teams, there was a time you did. Good baseball teams don't win a World Series. It's the... And listen, and I can ask teachers and principals, tell me about your kids at school. They're good kids, but good kids get drunk. Good kids do drugs. Good kids have babies out of wedlock. Good kids will murder. Good kids will commit suicide. Good kids will get abortions. Good kids will walk into a school and murder. Good marriages will end in divorce. Good churches will split. I want you to listen. Good is the enemy to great. If you're listening, say yes. So I'm on the airplane, and you know they're dying to ask me, how did you get up here? Because I don't look like first class. I mean, I got a tattoo. I got bracelets that glow in the dark. I got a key. I have no idea what the key goes to. I've been wearing it 6 years this month. Somebody said, well, why are you wearing a key? Because somebody asked me, hey, why are you wearing a key? And I tell them about the cross. I just look for ways to tell people about Jesus. So I'm on the plane and finally, you know they're dying. Sir, where are you going? Well, I'm always going through Dallas most of the time. There's going to be a layover in Dallas at the rapture. Finally, they said, well, where are you going? I tell them I'm going through Dallas. And they said, well, sir, what do you do for a living? I'm telling you, this is leading somewhere. I said, well, what do you think I do? 8 out of 10 times, Pastor, this is the answer I get. I hate it. Well, sir, don't take this wrong. How many of y'all have ever said that? Don't you hate that when somebody don't? Because you know we're going to take it wrong. In fact, don't take this wrong, but shut up. Don't take that wrong. And they'll say, don't take this wrong. I say, well, what do you think I do? Well, sir, you look like a wrestler. I'm thinking, why would I want to wrestle other men in their underwear? Why? And then the guy behind me will go, yeah, I thought you were. I did. I'm thinking, dude. Finally, I said, well, I'm not a wrestler. They said, well, what do you do? And I said, this is going to be good. I said, I'm a preacher. This is their next response. Really? What kind of preacher are you? I'm the kind that wrestles people in first class. And you know what happens, Pastor? I know this has happened to you. Finally, when they find out I'm a preacher, this is the next question. Well, sir, what do you think it takes to get to heaven? Because you're going to hear this in a moment. I said, well, I'm the preacher that looks like a wrestler, but I said, I know what it takes biblically to get to heaven. I said, well, what do you think it takes? And you know what the number one answer I get? You just got to be good. Please listen to me. God is sick. Young people, I hope you're listening. God is sick and tired of good. Good marriages will never make it. Good churches won't do. Good businesses. You know, you can get as mad as you want at Walmart. You can get all mad. But Walmart's not satisfied with being good. They want to be great. Chick-fil-A, listen, I believe that's going to be in heaven. Can I get an amen? Man, if you love Jesus, you love Chick-fil-A. That's the only fast food I do. And they said he'll never make it on Sunday. Do you think he's making it? Even Tony the Tiger. They got it over here. Frosted Flakes aren't good. They're. Yeah, that was pretty weak. They're. Oh, come on. They're. I love it because you got little kids going, we get to yell today. Could you see Tony doing this commercial, Frosted Flakes? They're really good. By the way, this Bible ought to be the Frosted Flakes of your life. Did you hear me? Jesus ought to be the Frosted Flakes in your life. Prayer ought to be some Frosted Flakes in your life. My grandson, since December 19th, I haven't slept through the night since December 19th. I woke up this morning at 12:30. I woke up at 2:30, woke up at 4:30, finally got up at 5:30. And every time I wake up in the night, my first prayer is, I want a miracle in my grandson's life. I want him to be able to speak clearly again. He's working on that. I want him to be able to run again and walk again. I'm praying every day. In fact, I just sent my daughter-in-law, who's a great mom, I just sent her a message in worship. And I said, I'm praying for a Mother's Day miracle today. If you're listening, say yes. You see, good is the enemy to great. Now, go to my story. Go to Matthew 19 quickly. Matthew 19. Here's my story. Matthew chapter 19. Would you start at verse 16? For you that are taking medicine, it's 11:39. Just thought I'd help you. Matthew 19, verse 16. Here's my story. I promise you, I'm doing my best to be done at noon for you. How many of y'all think I could preach past noon? How many of y'all think I could preach probably till tonight? Scares me too, doesn't it? But can I say this to you? The greatest day in my life. My mom held a knife to my throat at 10, told me and my sister we came from hell, we were better off dead. My dad didn't want me. He was a gutless man, knew how to make a baby, didn't want to be a daddy to a baby. I'm the oldest of 8 siblings. They're all screwed up, but about one of them. My mom told me all my life that I'd be nothing to nobody. 24 different schools growing up, young people. I got beat up and bullied at home, beat up and bullied at school. In jail at 15, suicidal at 10, first drink of alcohol at 9. And at the age of 16, I got nothing. A football player invited me to church. I went for the girls and the food because I was into chicks and chicken. Just telling you the truth. In October of 1968, on a Wednesday night, the greatest day of my life, I got saved. Please listen. I challenge you, don't be satisfied for good. Please listen to me. If the devil can't make you bad, I love making this statement, the devil will make you busy. Did you hear me, young people? If the devil, mom and dad, if he can't make you bad, he can't get you to throw your marriage away, your life away. If he can't make you bad, the devil will make you busy. And I want you to listen. When you get too busy for God, you're too busy. Man, I love doing what I do. I'm not guaranteed anything here. I'm going to get a love offering. I'm probably going to get a whole lot of love. And I want you to listen. I don't want your tithe. That belongs to your church. My wife wrote a tithe check last night. We're very faithful to our church, and it is a great church. We run almost 20,000 on a Saturday, Sunday. We baptized over 2,000 last year. 28 years old, and I want to tell you this, every Sunday is a great day. And if we came to church expecting the greatness of God, walking in the greatness of God, believing the great word, if we came with that kind of attitude, listen, you could care less what time you got out. So here's the story, Matthew 19, 16, here it is. Everybody say, show me the money. How many of y'all ever saw that movie, Jerry Maguire? Are you ready? Show me the money was it. Everybody say, show me the money. I share this with you because here's why. We don't know this dude's name, but we know this dude had a lot of money. In fact, according to Scripture, he had great wealth. I'll show you in a moment. And show me the money goes to the right person. Everybody say, Jesus. He asked the right question at the right time, the right place. Think about this, Pastor. And he got the right answer. But like some of you, he did the wrong thing. My son prayed a prayer with me and my wife when he was 8 years old, and I don't believe there's a prayer that can save you. Salvation starts in your heart. Prayer is a confession of your heart. I got my son in the baptistry, kind of got him wet is all. He was 8 years old, did pretty well. 13, he began to question some things. And at the age of 16, here's what my son said to me. He said, Dad, young people, hope you're listening. Mom and Dad. He said, Dad, I knew at the age of 13 for 3 years, I knew I was lost. He said, Dad, like some of my, I'd raise my hand every week to say I was saved if I didn't skip out of church or if I didn't skip chapel from our Christian school. I'd raise my hand to say I was saved, but I knew in my heart that I was lost. I said, Jeremy, how did you know you were lost for 3 years? And here's what he said. He said, Dad, I remember praying with you. I remember getting in the baptistry. He said, Dad, I know scriptures. Went to a great Christian school. He said, Dad, but it was never my passion. Here's what he told me. I said, Jeremy, was it alcohol? He said, Dad, I drank a couple beers with some of my friends. I said, they're not your friends. He said, Dad, I never did drugs. He was a virgin when he got married. I said, so Jeremy, how did you know? And Pastor, he gave me the best answer. He said, Dad, how I was living. There was no way that I could be born again with how I was living. I could cheat. I could steal. I could be deceptive. I could be irresponsible. I could be disrespectful. He said, Dad, I could do all those things, and it never bothered me. You would think that if I was saved, that the Spirit of God would convict me of my sin. And my son at the age of 16 finally did the greatest thing in his life, and he got saved. He preached my grandson's funeral. 1,400 people showed up. I gave an invitation after he preached. We had 80 people give their life to Christ. Church, listen to me. Young people, listen. No matter what's going on in your church, listen. Can I tell you something about the past? Ain't nothing you can do about the past. In fact, the next time the devil reminds you of your past, remind the devil of his future. Everybody say yesterday. Is a canceled check. Say tomorrow is a promissory note. But say today. Come on, help me. Say today is cash. Spend it well. Pastor, we're so upset about yesterday, we're so worried about tomorrow that we can't live today. Guys, there's a lot of stuff I could worry about. But I'm going to live, because all I got right now, I mean, I hope I get to go home. All I got right now is right now. If you're listening, say yes. So show me the money. Ask three questions. Look at the first one. Look at verse 16. Someone came to Jesus with this question. Now, some versions, probably New American Standard says, good teacher. I thought that was kind of a smart out, but it wasn't. When they would say good teacher, it was a sign of respect. He said, good teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Question number one. And Jesus answered, Why do you ask me about what is good? In fact, Mark, we're going to go back and forth in a little bit. Mark says, only God is good. Look at this. Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there's only one who is good. So the next time somebody says to you, I'm good, they're lying. And guys, we do that really, really well. When we fellowship, how are you doing? Good. How's the family? Good. How's that job? Oh, it's good. How many of y'all would agree most of the time it's not even good? Just raise your hand. It stinks. Next time somebody, Pastor, you know you've done that. I've done it. How many of y'all have ever done this? Somebody walks up to you and you ask them how they're doing. You didn't really want to know. You were just asking. And you were hoping that they would say, that's all you wanted. Next time somebody asks you how you're doing, make stuff up. Well, my wife has leprosy. My son wrecked both of our cars. My daughter killed the cat. That's kind of good. I'm kidding. I mean, I've lost my job. You could go through a whole scenario, and as soon as you finish, the person that asks you how you're doing, they'll respond this way. Well, that's good. You know they're not listening. Look at what he said. Good teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Why do you ask me about what good? Jesus replied, there's only one who is, and it ain't you. But to answer your question, Pastor, I love Jesus. Because he can be a little sarcastic and get away with it. Look at what he said. Everybody say if. I do a message on the word if. 1,800 times in my Bible, the word if is used. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will pray. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just. If. Jesus said, if young people, he said, you are my friends. John 15:14, he said, you are my friends if you obey me. Look at what he said. He said, if you want to receive eternal life, this is good. Keep the commandments. Look at the next question. Go to the next verse. Look at the next question. This, I love the next question in verse 18. I believe it is. Yes? No? Maybe? Close? There it is. Look at the next question. Which ones? This guy's good. Jesus, if good is not going to get me to heaven, then which ones do I obey? This guy's good. So Jesus answered, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't testify falsely. Young people, this would send most of you to hell. Honor your father and your... Now that messed some of y'all up. And love your... As your... Now... Turn, if you got your Bible, and they'll do it on the screen. Go to Mark chapter 10. I want to go back and forth. I'm going to end in Mark 10 in a moment. But look at what he said in Mark chapter 10. And would you look at verse 20 in Mark 10. See if he can get us there. If not, I'm going to read it. Mark chapter 10, look at verse 20. In fact, verse 18 says, why do you call me good? Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. He goes on, and look at verse 20. Is it there? No, it's not. All right, let me read mine. Mark 10:20 says this. It said, good teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these commands since I was what? Oh, there it is. Since I was what? What does it say in Mark? Somebody tell me. Since I was what? Everybody say young. Say little boy. Now go back to Matthew 19. Go back. I didn't know you. There it is. It started out, good teacher, what must I do? Why do you call me good? All right, go to the next verse. Go, if you would, to verse 19. There it is. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. Now go to verse 20. So look at what he said. Teacher, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was. Now go back to Matthew. Are you ready? Ever since I was a little kid, I'm getting ready to pick. I obeyed all these. Everybody say liar. How many of y'all have grandchildren, children, brothers, sisters that are 5 years and younger? Raise your hand. They're bad people. They're bad. They eat dirt. They break stuff. They bite. They climb. They fight for, they cry for no reason. They're bad people. I was at a church, pastor, and a little girl sitting in the front row. She leaned over to her mom and said, "Mom, I'm glad I'm six." How many of y'all have ever met the children holy in terror? If you're not raising your hand, they're probably yours. I was at the San Antonio airport, and there they were, holy in terror. I saw the holy book. There were angels all around this 8-year-old little boy. He was reading a book. He wasn't on his phone, iPad. Reading a book! How holy can that be? Drinking a little Coke and eating some prep. Holy. And then there was his brother. 2 years old. Terror. You say, how do you know? He was underneath mom's chair on a leash. How many of y'all have seen kids on a leash? Raise your hand. That's a terrible kid. I want you to listen. This dude said, "Ever since I was a little kid, I've obeyed all these commands." But look at verse 20. Look at the third question real quick. What else must I do? Look at it. What else must I do? You know what he's saying? Jesus, if good is not going to get me to heaven, if my money, and I don't know if he was married because he had money. Men, how many of you men are married? Raise your hand. You can still raise your hand. Okay, just checking. How many of you men would like to know how to have a great marriage? Just raise your hand. All right, I want to help you. Ready? All right, are you ready for this? You can either be happy or right in your marriage. How many men have chosen to be happy? Raise your hand. Because if you're not, you're an idiot. Because if your wife ain't happy, God ain't happy. I've learned another truth for a great marriage, Pastor. What's mine is, and what's hers is, it's all hers. He may hold it all, but it's all hers. And here's my best one. I need all the married men to repeat after me. Say, "I'm sorry. It's my fault." She runs out of gas. You're not even in the car. Go ahead and say it, guys. She writes a check at Walmart. Should have never written it. Say it, guys. Your kids turn into idiots one day. Go ahead and say it, guys. Have you learned, men, that when your children are good, they're hers? And when they're bad, they're... I came home one day and my wife said, "Our sons." I was totally confused because I didn't know if they'd been good or bad, but I want you to listen. Jesus, if my money, if my morals, if my marriage, watch this, if none of that is good enough to get me to heaven, what else must I do? I'm almost done, I promise you. I went to Africa with my granddaughter. She'd been wanting to go since she was 10. She turned 17, and I'm on the board of Real for Christ. It's in Kenya, and so I joined that board. And so I wanted to go see the ministry, so I took her with me. While we were there, they're building schools. It's incredible. But while we were there, they got monkeys everywhere, Pastor. Monk everywhere. Baboons sitting that tall on the side of the road. We pulled up. There he was, right there. The missionary, Chris, rolled my window down. I said, "Dude, you better get that window back up because I'm crawling." But it wasn't them baboons. It's these little teeny monkeys. They know how to open doors. If you leave a window crack, they'll go in. They'll eat whatever they can eat. But here's how they catch these monkeys. I don't know if they still do it, but I know that they've done. I went out to the bush, deep into Africa, Kenya, and they catch these little monkeys by getting a coconut. They split it open, they carve it out, they put an apple or an orange or some piece of fruit at the back. They put it back together, they put a hole at each end. I don't know if they tie string to put it back together, but I know that they put a rope or a string through both holes and they tie it to a tree. Then they go hide with nets. They don't need knives, or just hide with nets. what happens is these monkeys come out of the trees, and I don't know if they smell the coconuts. I don't know. But all I know is once they see him, they will put their hand in that coconut, and they feel that piece of food, and they grab it. And as they begin to pull the food out, they run into a problem. The only way they can get their hand out of the coconut is to let go. Now, I want you to listen, because you and I, oh, I'm preaching to me today. You and I are a lot like that monkey. How many of y'all worry? Raise your hand. Are you ready? As long as you hold on to worry, you'll never worship. That's why some of y'all come, you don't sing the songs. Not that you don't know them, because you're so worried about stuff not here. How many of y'all have fear in your life? Raise your hand. As long as you hold on to fear, you'll never learn to trust. After my son, my grandson had his wreck, we spent 6 weeks in Oklahoma City. I had to cancel some of my events like this. Just had to. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awake. My son called me. He said, Dad, I just wrote down 33 fears that I have for Caleb right now. I said, what did you do? He said, Dad, I tore them up. He says, I'm not going to live with those fears. Young people, as long as you hold on to fear, listen, you'll never know faith, because fear is the opposite of faith. How many of y'all have things in your past that you've not dealt with? Anybody here? Raise your hand. Unforgiveness, guilt, shame, blame. Are you ready? As long as you hold on to that, you'll never know forgiveness. You'll never know peace. If you hold on to your past, you'll never know God's purpose. If you hold on to religion, you'll never have a relationship with God. You hold on. Are you ready? If you hold on to those addictions, you'll never be addicted to Jesus. All the monkey had to do was what? Let go. Now go to Mark chapter 10. We're going to close. Go to Mark chapter 10. Listen to what he said in Mark 10. And I appreciate you helping on the screen. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. Look at this. There's still one thing you haven't done. He said, go sell all your possessions, give your money to the poor. Aren't an evangelist from San Antonio. Look at this. You'll have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. Matthew said it a different way. Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, everybody say perfect, keep it right there. Here's what he said. That everybody, Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, be perfect as I am perfect. That's not what you think it means. Everybody say mature, say grown up, say complete. So here's what he's saying. If you want your life to be complete, have purpose, have meaning. Then he said this, give up everything that you have. Look at this. You'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Go to the next verse in Mark. Look, if you would, at verse 22. Look at verse 22. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had what? Some version says, the New American Standard may have said he had great wealth. Listen, young people, listen to me. Your good morals, your good money, your good marriage, listen, your good life will never get you Jesus. Good ain't good enough, and good is the enemy to great. Look, Jesus looked around and said to his disciple, how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. This amazed them. And so Jesus said it again. Dear children, it's very hard. In fact, I wrote this right here in my. It's very hard to have eternal life. It's very hard to enter heaven for those who trust in their riches. I'm not trying to make fun, but maybe I am. Donald Trump, can I tell you? I don't know if he's saved or not, but can I say this to you? Donald Trump doesn't really need God. And you'll never know you need God till you need God. Donald Trump doesn't really need God because he's president of the United States. Are you ready? Oprah, by the way, if you think Oprah's saved, you're probably lost too. Oprah's lost. She's New Age. She has a deal called the New Earth. And I want you, she's a good woman, done good things. But Oprah doesn't need God because she has power. Madonna needs clothes. But can I tell you something about Madonna? She doesn't need God because she's got power and popularity. Please listen. Jesus said, give me everything. Dear children, it's very hard to enter the kingdom of God. Oh, keep reading. Look at what he said in verse 20. Go to the next. Yeah. In fact, it's easier for a camel. Now, Pastor, you may know this, but there's a myth. I don't know if there's a truth or a myth because I've seen pros and cons. Supposedly, there's some hole in a wall called the eye of a needle. And what they're saying is it'd be easier to get a camel to go through the hole in that wall than it would be for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Keep going. The disciples were astounded, and they had a question. Well, who in the world can be saved, Jesus? Now this makes sense. Look, if you would, at the next verse. Almost done. Jesus looked intently and said, with man or with human, this is. Now this verse makes sense. But with God, everything. Listen, do you want this church to be great? Do you want to reach a lost and a dying world? Then you got to seek the greatness of God. Keep reading. Look, everything with God is possible. Then Peter, he's always got a question. Cutting off people's ears, hanging around with roosters. How y'all doing? We've given up everything to follow you, he said. Look at the next verse. Verse 29. And Jesus answered, I assure you that everyone who has given up his house, watch, brothers, sister, mother, father, children, or property for my sake and for the good news, keep going, will receive in return. Keep it right there. Luke 14, around verse 25, Jesus said, all of you who really believe, he said, Luke says it better than Matthew. Luke says, you must hate your mom, hate your dad, hate your children, hate your brother, hate your sister, hate your own life, or you can't be my disciple. Now, I know what some teenagers are thinking. I like that verse. Mom, dad, I need to say something today at lunch. Mom, dad, biblically, I need to say this to you. I hate you. I hate your rule, but that's not what it's saying. You know what he's saying? Our love and devotion to God ought to seem like nothing else matters. You ought to love me more than anything. By the way, he said, if you'll give me everything, we sang it, we will receive in return 100 houses, brother, sister, mother, children, property, along with persecution. And in the world to come, you will receive eternal life. Now don't stop listening. It's 12:03. Are we okay? Let me ask you, have you learned anything today? Yes or no? Moms, dads, listen, children, young people, God is looking for great. And greater is he that is in. And here's what I believe that people don't get. The greatness of God is in you. All that Jesus is lives in you. But he wants to live through you, love through you, serve through you. I saw that you need some volunteers. When this service is over, somebody needs to be going, I'm in. Go ahead and make your way up, Nick. If you, I want you to listen close. Don't close your Bibles, because when you do, you think I'm done. Do y'all do VBS here? Vacation Bible School. Are you ready for this? If this doesn't blow you away, you're crazy. You know how many children we had at our VBS last year? 2,700 children. Pastor, are you ready for this? You think we needed a few workers? You want to know how many volunteers and serve? We had 800. And we had a list of people waiting to serve. That's a great church. You know what our church did 2 weeks ago? Our pastor went to our men's retreat. We had 600 at our men's retreat. He was preaching it that weekend. He had a guy come in and preach on Sunday morning. He preached on serving, hospitality, all that stuff. You know what our pastor said the Sunday before? My wife goes every Saturday, and she goes Sunday as well. Said, I want you to invite a waiter or a waitress that you frequent their restaurant. I want you to invite them to be your guest to our church. This was last weekend. He said, we want to do something for waiters and waitresses. Because the worst and lousiest tippers in the world are Christians. They hate waiting on us. Now, I'm a good tipper. I'm a great tipper. When I walk into a restaurant, me and my wife, when my boys left, she decided not to cook anymore. So we don't. I want her to be happy. We don't spend expensive meals. We'll eat some stuff at home every now and then. But bottom line is, she invited this lady, and the lady said, I need church. She said, I got bills. I don't know what I'm going to do. She said, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but our pastor's going to honor our waiters and waitresses in San Antonio. She went. The guy preaching said, I want all the waiters and waitresses to stand. So they stood. Some of them started crying. Didn't even know why they're crying. He said, I want you to step out from your seat. He did this in 5 services, over 17,000 people. He said, come to the front, and there's a yellow bag I want you to get. They all got them. He said, on your way back, I want you to hold that bag out, and as you walk by, I want everybody in our congregation to put money in there. $1 at least, $5, $20, $100. By the time she got back to where my wife was, where she was sitting, she was in tears. She probably got $400 or $500 in just her bag. Would you say that was pretty good or great? Church, don't be satisfied with yesterday. Don't be satisfied with what. Listen, live right now. This is a cash God's given you. I don't want a good offering, by the way. Pastor, you've been there. I know when it's a bad offering. They will super glue the envelope. You know what they're saying? Please don't look. I love it when they say this. Wish it could have been more. I'm thinking, all you got to do is add another zero. Can I tell you what I deserve? I deserve hell. But by the grace of God, I get heaven. Good ain't good enough. Good is the enemy to great. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As still as you can be, nobody looking around, we're almost done. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask a couple questions. Here's my first. How many sitting here would say, if my heart were to stop, if I were to die? Nobody looking around. I don't want you looking at a friend, a husband, a wife, your parents. This is just you and God. I'm looking, but I'm not going to come grab you. But how many sitting here would say, if my heart were to stop, if I were to die? Listen to my question. I'm not asking about your baptism, your christening, your sprinkling. I'm not asking about your church membership. I'm not asking about your convictions. All I'm asking is, do you know that you're saved? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many sitting here would say, Brother Ken, I can honestly tell you that if my heart were to stop, if I were to die, because I think there's some Jeremy Freemans in here. My son, he'd raise his hand almost every week for 3 years. So I'm going to ask, how many here would say, Brother Ken, I know that if I die, my heart were to stop, Jesus were to come, I know that I'm saved. Don't look around. Would you raise your hand? Please be careful. Please. Put them down. Let me ask a second question. And I'm not going to come grab your folly. Is there anybody sitting here who would say, Mr. Freeman, Brother Ken, yo dude, nobody looking around. If my heart were to stop, if I were to die, this might surprise my husband, my wife. It might surprise my kids, my parents. It might surprise my church. But Brother Ken, I'm tired of having my hand in a coconut. I'm tired of holding on to embarrassment, to fear, to pride. And so how many here would say, Brother Ken, and I'm not going to come grab your folly, but how many would say, would you pray for me because I'm going to be as real as I've ever been. If my heart were to stop, if I were to die, this world were to end. Brother Ken, I honestly don't know that I've ever been saved. I want to be as real as I can be. I honestly don't know that I'd go to heaven if I died. Honestly don't know that I'd be with Jesus, but I want to know. Would you pray for me? With nobody looking, would you raise your hand? Put them up high. I want to see. Let me see. One, two, three, four, five. Now put them back down. Let me tell you why I'm going to ask it a second time. Because a couple of you didn't raise your hand to either question. So I want to tell you why. Either God is not dealing with you, or God is done dealing with you, or you just don't need God. So let me ask it again, because you're either saved or lost. So how many one more time would say, Brother Ken, this might surprise people around me, but I'm going to be honest. Brother Ken, I honestly don't know that I'd go to heaven. Honestly don't know that I've ever been saved, but I want to know that Jesus. Would you pray for me? If that's you, raise your hand one more time. Put them up. I want to see. One, two, three, four, five, six. Put them down. Now notice, with nobody looking but me, you that raised your hands, you only raised one hand. So we got to get the hand out of the coconut. I want to tell you today how you can step out of good and know the greatness of God. Are you ready? The Bible says you got to believe. Romans 10. Everybody say, I believe. Say, Jesus, born of a virgin, walked this earth, died on my cross for my sins, my life, didn't deserve it, couldn't earn it, couldn't buy it. But I believe with all my heart, He did it for me. See, the Bible says if you can believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that He's Lord, He said, I'll save you. So you six or seven, from what I could see, there may have been more. If today you'd like to be saved, don't look around. Husband, wife, mom, dad. My son for 3 years raised his hand knowing he was lost. He finally took his hand out of the coconut and he got saved. So here we go. If you'd like to be saved, I'm going to ask you to pray with me right now. Now listen to me close. This is not a get out of hell prayer. It's not a magical prayer. The prayer is a confession of your heart. So you can softly speak it. You can move your lips. You can whisper it. You can shout it. I don't care. But if you today would like to be saved, pray this with me right now. Just say, Jesus, I may be the only one Jesus, I believe what you did on the cross, you did it for me, my sins, my life. Jesus, I can't thank you enough. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for forgiving me on the cross. And today, Jesus, if I'm the only one, I want to say this. I'm sorry for my sin. You don't got to make a list of your sins, because He knows your heart. I'm sorry for the lies and the garbage, Jesus. I'm sorry for the pride. And so, Jesus, I want to thank you for forgiving me. Now say this. Jesus, today, I want to repent. I want to repent. Here's what that means. Say it after me. Say, Jesus, change my direction, how I walk. Change my mind, how I think. And change my purpose, how I live. I receive you into my life, and with my lips, I call you Lord, Savior, Father, friend, forever. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm going to ask, if you six or seven or eight that said, Brother Ken, I don't know, if that prayer was a confession of your heart, He just saved you. So with nobody looking but me, if you prayed that with me just now and you're not ashamed, raise your hand. Come on, put them up. I want to see, put them up. I see one, two, three, four. What about it? I see you, young man. I see you. Now put them down. Now I'm going to ask you to do two more things. Nobody's going to make you do anything. I'm going to count to three. And as I count to three, if you believe that God saved you, I'm going to ask you to stand, remain standing with your head bowed. Don't look around. Now let me say this. If you can't stand here with people that'll love you, you'll never stand anywhere. In fact, Jesus, four times, Matthew 10, Mark 8, Luke 9, John 12, Jesus says, if you're not ashamed of me and my words, won't be ashamed of you. In fact, He says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you to the Father. So here we go. If you believe what you just did was real and you're not ashamed, as I count to three, I'm going to ask you to stand, remain standing with your head bowed. Now, it's real simple. If you've got to look around and see who stands, don't stand. You may be the only one standing, and that's going to be okay. Are you ready? Now we're going to get the hand out of the coconut. Are you ready? If that was your prayer, you meant that with all your heart, don't wait for me to count to three. Who'll be the first one? Stand up right now. Come on, young lady. I see you, young man. I see you. If you believe today that God saved you, stand up right now. Come on. Front row, back row, middle row. If that's your heart, unashamed, unafraid. Unashamed, unafraid. Because if you can't stand here, you'll never stand out there. Is there one more? One, two, and I won't count again. If you believe, young lady, sir, ma'am, teenager, if you believe today that God saved you, are you ready? One, two, and here it is. Stand up right now as I say three. Jump up right now. Come on, one more. Nobody looking, please, except you that are standing, look at me. You that are standing, I want you to look at me. If you're standing, look at me. I don't want you to sit back down. I want you to come and stand right here and face me at this stage. Step out. Come on. Don't sit back down. Come stand right here. Come on. Walk over here. Come on. Walk over here. Somebody can watch your baby for you. Come on. Stand right here. Unashamed. Unafraid. Unashamed. Unafraid. Unashamed. Unafraid. Unashamed. Unafraid. Now you that are standing here, look at me close. Everybody else, keep your head bowed. A minute ago it was a private thing, now it's gone public. I'm going to start here, and I'm going to work my way to here. If this is what you're saying, I want you to nod your head, okay? If you're saying, Brother Ken, I don't know what I've done before, but here's what I do believe. I believe that today God saved me. That's what I believe. If that's what you're saying, would you nod your head? Yes, sir. Yes. 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 Would you bow your heads? You that are seated, would you look up? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13, 12. 12 is a pretty good number. It's a number of completion. Of the 12 here, 1, 2, 3, 4, about 5 or 6 of them are adults. They say if you're not saved by the age of 13, you'll never be saved. We just beat some odds. Would you give these a round of applause today? Would you do that? Oh, no, no, like you mean it. Like you mean it. This is a great day for this church. Like you mean it. Not a golf clap, a grateful clap. Bow your heads, you that are standing, I'm not done with y'all. You that are standing here, look at me. This is the greatest day of your life. This is the greatest day of your life. Let me give you the good news. God could care less what you've done. I love him. He could care less about the divorce, the drugs, the abortion, the alcohol. He could care less about all of that. You know what he cares about? Your today and your tomorrow. Can I give you the good news? You're forgiven of everything. He cast your sins as far as the east is to the west. The Bible says he's...